This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom, Garden of Peace. Marashal Shalom Aosh Shita. A guide to a wonderful and happy marriage with Hashem's help. We are on page 247 in the Hebrew version of the book. And we have been learning in this chapter about the very difficult situation of divorce. How it's not the answer that it often seems to be. How it can lead to many more problems than the person, the spouse, considers at the outset, doesn't realize how difficult it's going to be. And Rav Arush explains that even if it does happen, the person needs to approach it correctly, not to lose his head, and not to lose his life over the fact that he's experiencing now a very difficult situation. Life goes on. He has to put his effort into fixing himself, into rectifying the problems that led to that situation occurring. And he has to pray for the future. But other than that, he should put it all behind him and move on with his life. Certainly not allow himself to be eaten up with regret, with hatred, with anger, with self-persecution, and any other negative emotions that are likely to arise in such a situation. We finished yesterday, day before, speaking about a situation where children are involved. It can be very difficult if children are placed with one spouse, usually the mother, and the father is not happy about how they're being brought up. And he sees in front of his eyes that his children's life is being, in his eyes, ruined. So over there, Rav Arush said, he needs to fix the time every day to pray for them, even 10 minutes. And after that, he's done his job. You shouldn't worry about it. It's up to Hashem to deal with the issue, not him. But dash yirat zu ha'itza lo'ore kazeh. And you should know that only this piece of advice we just gave about fixing a time for prayer and then getting on with your life is the correct advice for a parent in this situation. To fix a time every day to pray for his children. And that will help them more than anything else. More than going to lawyers, more than trying to find intermediaries who can put in a word and try and sort something out. More than threatening, withholding money, bribing, threatening, whatever other tactics the Yetzer Hara might try to suggest is a good idea. Prayer is going to help more than anything. The author of this sefer, Rav Arush, knows a large number of people, Shabau mi batim harusim, that came from broken homes, shahareim hayugushim, meaning that their parents were divorced, v'hen yatsu motzlachim, and they came out of it successful, v'chashuvim ma'od, and with importance, v'zchot hatfilot shel hachamerim, as a result of the merit of the prayers of one of the parents. So in situations, even if there is a divorce, and the person, the husband, one of the spouses, is worried about what's going to be with the children, should know, Rav Arush says, I know plenty of cases where that has happened, and due to the prayers of one of the parents, children have turned out very well indeed. Prayer can fix everything. Aklahu, the general rule here is this, that through prayer, one is able to achieve anything. Therefore, he should place the lives of his children in the hands of Hashem. And he should pray to Hashem. And he should say to Hashem the following. Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Even if the children were under my supervision, I would need to pray a lot. Rachamim. I would need a lot of prayers and mercy in order that they would grow up appropriately. Right? Even if we weren't divorced, and even if the children were under my hands, were under my supervision, in this situation they're not, but even if they were, I would still need to pray a lot. Vata and now, she'inam biyadai, actually, now that they're not in my hands, my children are not under my control, ani mafkid otam biyadcha, I'm placing them in your hands, Hashem. Vani mamim, I believe, shegam b'makom yehem nitzayim, that even in the place where they currently are, gam sham atam ashkiach aleihem b'tovah, I believe 100% that you're also supervising and watching over them for the good. Ana rachem aleihem, please Hashem, have mercy on them. Olech otam b'derech tovah, lead them in the good path. Harchek mehem, v'harchek otam mechaverim ra'im, distance them from bad friends. Ten lahem chaverim tovim, give them good friends. Karev otam alecha, and bring them close to you. Ten otam lachem lachesed l'rachamim b'inecha, and give them grace and favor and mercy in your eyes. Uvenei kol rehem, and in the eyes of all who see them. Umale libam v'emunah, fill their hearts with emunah. Tohara, v'pshuta, pure and simple. V'yigdalu v'midot tovot v'yishawot, and they should grow up with good and honest character traits, etc., etc. Right? That's the sort of prayer that a husband, a spouse, a father in this situation should pray.
Is that prayer written by Rabbi Rush?
Yeah, he's just written off.
So, a person can insert their own prayer.
Right, this is for sure simply a guidance, right? Because you get to this point in the chapter, and the advice is you need to pray on your children. So, without this, sitting there thinking, okay, I need to pray on them. What do I pray? I don't have to pray. Hashem, look after them. No, I'm done. Right? That's it. I'm stopped now. Is there anything else to say? I don't know. So, he sets out here the sort of thing. Right? They should have good friends. They shouldn't mix with a bad crowd. We should leave them on a straight path. Fill their heart with emunah. Different ideas that are going to help us to make our own prayers, really. Truth is much better making our own prayer. Prayer from the heart goes up. If it's my words, then it's much stronger than someone else's words I'm reading. These are good words too, and I can identify with these words because they mean something to me. Fill their heart with emunah, they should have good friends. That's also good because I can identify with it, so it is coming from me as well. But if the words are my words, then it's even stronger.
I would add that that would be especially good for even your married children.
Nachon. So that's what he says at the beginning of here. Even if I wasn't in this situation, I know that I would have to pray a lot for my kids. But now I am in this situation, I'm going to pray more. So he's put that in also for us, right? That even if I wasn't in this situation, I would have to pray. We should be praying this all day long for our kids too. Hashem, fill their hearts with emunah, lead them on a good path. Make sure they mix with good people and not bad people. Every parent in any situation should be praying a prayer like this. Alavai, I wish I myself was praying a prayer like this. I try to add my children into my Hezbollah every day to say something. Hashem, look after them. They should be well, should be healthy. But I usually don't have much to say. It's not.
But even 5 seconds, it adds up like a savings account or
alone. And you can be sure that every single word, every single prayer that a father makes has effect. We're not going to see it. Even if it was only 2 seconds. Hashem, if I say right now, Hashem, I'm doing a prayer. Hashem, please look after my children. That's it. Finished? How long did that take? 2.5 seconds? Whatever it was. That prayer has to have an effect. It's not disappeared. That is whatever it is. Right? If it could be that, how is it going to have an effect? Something small. One of my children, they drop 10 shekels on the floor. And now they see it. And they don't lose it. They actually saw it. Because of that prayer. Something small happened. But whatever prayer I make has an effect. For sure, 100% has an effect. It doesn't go to nothing. It has an effect. the more prayers I make, the more effects. If I want something big, I need a lot. But any prayer is always going to do something in the world. Do something good for what you ask for. It has to. We're created in the image of God. When Hashem spoke the world into being, it came into being. Hashem said that let there be light. There was light. There's no other choice. Hashem says it happens. We have an aspect. We have a chalek elokim. Whatever we say has to happen in some way. The stronger, the more godly we become, the more religious, more righteous, the more tzaddik we become, and the closer we are to Hashem, the more our words actually manifest exactly how they fight. That's why a tzaddik says something, it has to happen, because he's in the image of a God. You and me, we're not yet at that level, so our words have less effect, but we still have that aspect that they have to have effect. So we can be sure 100% though that our prayers are going to have an effect. What effect and how strong? Open for question, but for sure they haven't. Okay. Well, Imanu, we can see Sha'amunah hi hatufa l'kotara. We can see from here that Emunah is the medicine for any suffering. Bein lifnei gezar din and bein lachar gezar din. Whether it's before the gezar din or after the gezar din. What's a gezar din? Means a judgment. Whether it's before the judgment or after the judgment. Emunah is a remedy. What does it mean? So here the judgment he's talking about, obviously in this chapter, is before or after the divorce. Right? The decree of divorce is the judgment, whether before or after. Certainly before a divorce, having Emunah and fixing it is for sure helping. But you say even after the decree, even after the divorce, something has happened. Emunah, we see, is the answer. And without Emunah, a person can be destroyed when they go through a difficult situation. But even after a difficult situation, after something not pleasant happened, Emunah is still the answer. Ashrei ha'halech chayei chayav be'emunah shlema. Fortunate is the one who goes in his life with complete Emunah. Right? Emunah is the answer to everything. All the problems a person suffers can be cured through Emunah. How? It's quite simple. When a person has Emunah, there's no more suffering. You can't change the facts on the ground. You can't change the scenario. If a person got divorced, he got divorced. How's Emunah going to help? I've got divorced. How's that going to change anything? So for sure, it doesn't change the facts on the ground. You're divorced. That's it. But it changes whether I suffer. It changes how my life is going to turn out from now on. There's no suffering with Emunah. When a person has Emunah, so there's no suffering. You're right. He says, that person got divorced. But afterwards, he didn't have to suffer as a result. The suffering is what can change with Emunah. So, next chapter. Mishmael, again, Kedah. Ishchayil, the man of strength. Mulva b'Likutei Moran. It's brought in the holy book called Likutei Moran. Mishu watzer lachbo matnav liot nefanes. Liten panasa latluyim bo. Person who wants to gird his loins, we would say in English, to strengthen himself. Liot mefarnes, to be a parnes. Parnes means either a leader, or it means someone who brings in parnasa to the home. So a person who wants to, who sees, like a husband, who sees that his financial situation is not so strong, and he realizes that he hasn't been making such a great effort in this department, and he needs to strengthen himself in order to take charge of the situation, so to speak, be on top of the situation and put his effort in to be making sure that Parnassah comes into his home. What's the advice? So the advice in the Kotei Moran is Litein Parnassah Latulim Bo. He should give money to those who are dependent upon him. We'll see what it means in a minute. Hu tzarich sheyeh ish chayil. He needs to be an ish chayil, a man of strength. V'lo yeh ha'efech. And not to be the opposite. Masha korin shleimaznik. Shleimaznik. Not to be what they would call shmalaznik. How do you say that? You just shmalaznik. Shlemazel. Don't be shlemazel. In 200 years ago in Ukraine, they called it shmalaznik. Shmalaznik. Right? Don't be a neber. Don't be a. We don't have English words, we have Yiddish words. Right?
Jerk.
A jerk's a bit strong. Don't be a soft, weak guy.
A Woody Allen.
No, Woody Allen.
Don't be a shmazel. Don't be a. I don't know what it is. But we get the picture. You need to be a strong. You need to strengthen a person in this situation. Needs to strengthen themselves and not be a weak individual. Because he needs to have a small aspect of memshala, governance, ruling. Because all of Parnassah comes from Malchut. Okay, what's he saying? So here we're learning some Likutei Moran. We're going to read a bit more Likutei Moran. We're not finished yet, but just up till now. What's he saying? He's saying like this. Spiritually speaking, there's a spiritual pipe for everything. Spiritual foundations, spiritual laws relating to everything in the world. In terms of the law of Parnassah, one of the spiritual laws, this is not the complete picture, but one of the spiritual laws that applies to Parnassah is that Parnassah comes through what's called Malchut. Malchut, loosely translated, means kingship. The idea of being in charge, being in control. Hashem gives his Parnassah through this aspect, trait, however you want to describe it, of kingship, Malchut. In order for a person to receive a good Parnassah, he needs to be showing some level of Malchut to allow the Parnassah to come through that pipe. If I have no Malchut, if I'm a shmazel, you get the picture, right? I'm a floor mop. Right?
That's it.
Then, and I'm being walked on, and I'm not showing any malchut at all. I'm not in control of anything in some way, right? It's not telling me to be a tyrant. But I need to show a small amount of governance and strength in order that the Parnassah can, spiritually speaking, flow through me. Shem does not put his shefa through loosely what I call weak individuals. Anyone who's not showing any aspect of Malchut, he can't get Parnassah. Parnassah has to come through Malchut. Right? And he says a small aspect of Malchut. I have to go crazy. I have to start cracking the whip and shouting at people and demanding, from now on we're doing it my way. It's my way or the highway. I'm in charge of this house. Anyone that goes against them, none of that. Right? That's going all the way to the other extreme. That's not going to help either. Right? But I do have to gird my loins and take some responsibility in order to create in myself some malchut. Alkain, Mishu Watsela Kapel Parnasa. Therefore, person who wants to receive Parnasa, Sarif Shielo Kansat Mamshala, needs to have a little bit of this governance. In order that he has some relationship to Malchut, to kingship, I need to show a bit of control in order that I have an aspect of Malchut within me. This is an aspect of the passage that it says in Rut.
The Jewish education. I have not encountered courses that say, so you want to get married and have a family.
how to be a parent. When you go to school, you learn a lot of things. But you don't know how to be a Jewish family. And the only thing I did as a supervisor of educators is that I went in and observed my teachers teaching about Jewish families, mother, father, sister, a daughter, and sons. I said, we have to change that. Every family has to be four of their kids. Now, the two, because I'll think two kids. We have to think four. And, you know, for the teachers, that was almost a radical concept. Oh my gosh, what are we doing? How do you even know for this? How do you do that? You see, that we need to do that because we need to begin thinking. Yeah, that I'm sorry that there aren't courses like that somewhere where before we do damage as parents, that we can correct that ahead of time by lessons in education as a parent, which correct things ahead of time before they happen. Like this guy is praying for his children, which is a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, the divorce isn't so wonderful, and he's praying for his children. But we're not hearing what kind of language was exchanged in that moment between the parents. Was it all holy language, or was there some angry language? How old were the kids, and how was that handled, and stuff? So we're taking an easy way out frame. That made it deal with some of the issues that the kids were left with.
The praying is only part of it. Like, we've got a whole book here that's talking about how to treat your wife, how to compliment her, never to criticize her. There's no point, as you point out, there's no point criticizing your wife, being angry, upset, ignoring her, and then just praying and hoping that it's all going to work out fine. It's dumb. It doesn't work that way, right? Prayer is what's necessary with the practical effort. The truth is also that you're right, there's not enough courses out there that teach people. However, a person who wants to find will find. When I got married in London, I did, fortunate enough, I did an engaged couples course before we got married. And afterwards, in our first couple of years, we did a couple of parenting courses as well. Because we realized we had no clue what we were doing and we needed some instruction. The problem is more acute nowadays also because with Baalei Teshuvah, we don't have role models. I have no idea how to bring up my kids with Judaism because I never got it. So I have no idea. In the old days, prior to our generation, so you just did what your parents did. You had some template. It might have been good or bad, but you had some template. For now, people who are Baalei Teshuvah, they really have no template at all. Plus the fact that the parenting went off the cliff from the 1950s onwards. Right? From the advent of TV, parenting ceased to be a parent. What did they do? Show you in front of the TV. No more parenting. There's a TV. Get out of my head. Right? No interaction, no nothing. Well, generally speaking, prior to the TV, parents had to interact with their kids. Day in, day out, there was some interaction, there was parenting, there was guidance, there was education, implicit, explicit, wherever it was. But since the 1950s, pretty much, it's gone completely broken. So now we're in a situation where we really need guidance because we have nothing. And there's not enough. You're right. There needs to be more teachers. This needs to be courses. If it's something that speaks to you, so grab a book, go down to the printer, run off 100 flyers saying new marriage guidance course starting up next week, first lesson free, and open the book and do exactly what I'm doing. I'm just reading the book. You say you could just do it now. So. Mamash, it's possible. It's available. It's available. Tov. So we're saying that Parnassah comes through this aspect of Malchut, of taking control, taking kinship. That's just a proof. Valkane, and therefore, she'aval choger matnav negedishto. When a husband tightens his belt, girds his loins, so to speak, u'machayev asmo l'panasa, and obligates himself to bring, to be, to make, to be a mefarnes. Right? He says, no, I'm taking responsibility. I need to bring in the money here. I'm going to go out and find a job. I'm going to go and speak to my rabbi on how I'm going to get money, how to put, whatever it is. But he's taking charge. It doesn't matter if he's going to the field. That's it. I'm going to the field for 6 hours and I'm not leaving until Hashem sends us a job, sends us money, whatever it is. That's also taking malchut, taking responsibility. It's on me. You don't need to worry about it. I'm dealing with it. Right? Once the man does that, as not Nimlok has sat now Shem Memshla, then he receives a bit of this governance control. He takes charge. Why? Because he's now taking charge over his wife, so to speak. He's saying to his wife, I'm in control, I'm dealing with this issue. When he takes control and deals with an issue relative to his wife, meaning he's taking it out of her hands, it's now not her problem, I'm dealing with it. He's now, so to speak, in charge of her. In this limited aspect, in this area, he's taking charge. And because of that, he's now it's able to draw down Parnassah. That's the end of the Likutei Moran. That's the Likutei Moran that he opens with this chapter. It explains how, through taking charge, a husband, can bring in Parnassah. That's just the beginning bit, there's more to say.